let's begin by reading Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 25. He says, he writes here, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and then temperance rounds it all out. He says, against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So, Father in heaven, I come to you, Lord, and Lord, I just ask that you would just kind of settle my mind and my heart. I pray, Father in heaven, that what is spoken about here today would not only encourage these men, but also edify these men. And also, Father in heaven, that we would just fall a little bit more in love with your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you will bless this time around your word. I know that your word goes out and it doesn't go out void. May it have its perfect work in our life. In these things we pray. Amen. All right, so I have three quick things. We have three quick things. The first one is about temperance, is avoid the extremes. Avoid the extremes. The very context of this chapter, and in fact, the context of this entire epistle, is that these Galatian believers were out of balance. And being out of balance, they were caught up in extremes of doctrine, which affected their behavior, that also affected their relationship with God. On the one part, there was the extremes of the legalists, preaching another gospel, demanding observance of the law, specifically in regards to circumcision and other matters of the law. And this led to excess of exclusivism. And legalism will always do that. It'll always lead to exclusivism. In fact, we see an example, we're not going to go there, but we see an example of this when Peter was eating with the Gentiles, right? And then those that came from James showed up. What did Peter do? Well, he separated himself from the Gentiles and went over and started sitting with the Jews. And of course, Paul called him on that. You know, that's kind of an extreme there that Peter caught himself caught up in. And later on, Paul would write in Galatians 3:11, he says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." So, you know, he had to correct that extreme of exclusivism in regards to these legalists coming in and influencing this church. On the other part, there was the other extreme, and there were some libertarians, I would call them, some libertarians in the Galatian church that rightly understood that they were no longer subject to the law of Moses. But the problem with folks who think that way is they believe that because they're not under the law of Moses, then they're not under any law. And so therefore they can live life however they choose to live life. And this goes to the extreme of what we would call license. Kind of an anything goes, you know, I'm under the grace of God, so it doesn't really matter, you know, how I live my life. But that's not true, is it? No, it's not true. So Paul corrected these libertarians and he admonished them here in Galatians 5:13. He says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I was discipling a young man just last night, and we're going through the lesson on liberty. And that's the one thing that we kind of hit on, is that, you know, we don't do whatever we want to do because we, you know, we want to love our brother. We don't want to set something up in our brother's life that would cause him to stumble and fall. And, you know, that's not very loving. It's just not a very loving thing to do. And so Paul, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit here, and he begins with love, and then he ends with temperance. And in the past, when I've heard lessons on temperance, for the most part, generally what gets focused on is somebody's diet or the addiction or maybe some other aspect of the flesh that we have to control. Traditionally, I've heard lessons about temperance, you know, focused on moderation or, you know, things like that, curbing one's appetites, one's desires. And it's kind of ironic that Brady would choose one of the fattest men in church to teach on temperance.
It was unintentional.
I get that. So no offense taken. Often also what you hear whenever you hear the word temperance taught is the word self-control. Am I not right? Yeah, that's usually the word that comes up. Often it's used as a synonym for temperance. And I think even some modern Bible translations will replace the word temperance with self-control. Which I don't think they should do. But when you think about the word self-control, who is really in control?
Self.
I mean, even a lost man can exercise self-control. I mean, we've got athletes, Olympic athletes that do it all the time. You know, we've got businessmen that do it all the time. I've discovered that if you try to live the Christian life, a self-controlled Christian life, that can prove to be frustrating. And it can also prove to be prideful. You know, you've got folks who are very prideful of their self-control. Well, that's not really emulating Christ and his humility. So I personally like to stick with what the Bible says, and I stick with the word temperance. And for me, the concept of temperance goes beyond self-control, like in the area of self-indulgence or whatever it is. But it is right here. It says it's a fruit of the Spirit. So for, to me, temperance is a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter, right? In life, we come face to face with all sorts of extremes. We've got the extremes of politics. And boy, howdy, do we have the extremes of politics in our country today. We've got extremes in education. You know, there's always different arguments about education. There's extremes in religion. There's all sorts of ideologies and pressures that come from society that pulls us this way and pulls us that way. And if we're not careful, we get ourselves caught up in extremes. I know of some individuals that identify their Christianity with what side of the aisle of politics is there on. To me, that's an imbalance. That's an imbalance. Our whole nation is a nation that's out of balance. Families are out of balance. People in general seem to be out of balance due to extremes. I mean, what is one of the words that you always hear? Our country is polarized. Polarized. So there's always something or someone wanting to rock the boat. Right? Always wanting to rock the boat. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think we go through periods of extremes in our own life as we navigate our way through this life. We're tossed here and there by our circumstances and our situations. And I've reached a point where I'm old enough to know that with each season of life, there's also associated with it extremes that we have to face. You know, when I was newly married, you know, and starting to have children, there was all of that imbalance that went along with that as you tried to figure things out. You know, you had the balanced job and the wife and kids. So there's always these things. Then when I got a little older, you know, the kids got up to be a little older. So we had to balance between the activities all the kids were involved in and family life and job and ministry. And then when we got even older, you know, our kids got into the dreaded teen years. So you had to deal with them trying to exercise their independence, and they're going into rebellion. So as you grow, there's all these things that are pulling on you all the time, all these extremes, and sometimes it can be difficult maintaining one's balance. You know, you can rant and rage, you can get angry, you can get fearful, and you can be, you know, all sorts of ways to respond, but all of these ways are simply symptomatic of being out of balance, not being temperate. When I was a very young believer, I was fortunate to know a very wise man, and he counseled me that one of the issues that believers have is that they become idealistic in their approach to life. So everything's got to be ideal. Everything's got to be perfect. Everything is just, you know, it's just got to be so-so. And he reminded me, he says, that doesn't really work because we don't live in a perfect world. You know, we can line everything up, but there's always somebody coming along to knock those dominoes over. He told me, he said, what we need to learn to do in our Christian life is to maintain a balance. Don't get entrapped in idealism. Try to avoid the extremes in life. He says, seek out God's wisdom in His Word. Seek out God's wisdom in His Word. And he says, when you seek out God's wisdom in His Word, he says, that will be the stabilizing influence in your life. And, well, I tell you what, he was right on the money, because that's what we need. We need a stabilizing influence in our life. We have to maintain balance to avoid the extremes. We face so many things in our life that want to tip us this way or tip us that way. That's why I believe temperance is the perfect word, because it is a spiritual issue. And if you want to maintain this balance, then you need to have your life tempered by the Word of God. You have to have your life tempered by the Word of God, because that's really the only stabilizing factor we have in this life. And this life can get crazy. It can get upside down. And then the second point I want to bring up is who's running the show? So who's running the show? So avoid extremes. And then who's running the show? Again, the simple worldly definition for temperance is self-control or the master of oneself. Right, that's the worldly definition. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. All right? A Christian application of the word temperance is this: a spirit-filled ability to master one's life. A spirit-filled ability to master one's life, to master one's thoughts, one's emotions, one's attitudes, one's behaviors. That's all done through the Spirit. All done through the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit that works in conjunction with all the other manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. Alright? It is a Spirit-controlled mastery over one's heart and over one's mind. That, to me, is why self-control is not a good synonym. Because it leaves out the Spirit. It leaves out God. The issue with these Galatian believers was that they had someone telling them that the only way they could live the Christian life is to keep rules. Right? To keep rules. Rather than walking in the Spirit. And there are some folks, you know, they have that mentality. If only I could just keep more rules, I know I can get my life in line. Well, that doesn't always work. That doesn't always work. I'm not saying rules aren't bad, but, you know, we can't run our life on just rules. I mean, when does it end? Where does it stop? Where does it stop? You know? I once house-sitted for a man who was this way. And he gave me certain things that I had to do while he and his family were away from vacation. And when I went into this man's house to water his plants and, you know, and take care of the things that he, there were lists everywhere. All over his house, this man had lists. And there was a plant in their bathroom I had to water. So I went and watered, and I don't mean to be crass, but I walked into this man's bathroom and there was another list here to water the plant. There was another list on his mirror. What was it? 5 o'clock, get up. 5:10, take a shower. 5:15, shave. You know, 5:20, comb the hair. And also on the calendar, he also marked days that he and his wife would have intimacy. His life was so rule-driven. It was so rule-driven. There's no liberty in that. There's no liberty in that. Paul said in Galatians 3:3, he says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? No, you're not made perfect by the flesh. You know, a lot of us, we allow our circumstances and our situations to run the show. We do. There are some who come under the power of influencers that are more harmful than helpful. This is why Paul wrote to the Galatian believers in Galatians 5:7. He says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." You see, someone else was calling the shots. Someone else was running the show. And that's why there was this turmoil in this church. In context of Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruits of the Spirit, we see two potential masters that have a great influence upon us, don't we? Those two influences are the Spirit and the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh. You see, the true battle we face is not what's going on politically in our country. The true battle that we face is not the messed up society that we live in. No, it's not an outside factor that is really the true battle in our life here. The real conflict is inside. It's internal. That's where everything comes into balance. Temperance or lack of temperance in one's life, or how to be tempered in one's life, is really comes down to a choice. Who has the most influence in my life? Is it the Word of God and the Spirit of God, or is it what's going on around me? Is it what's going on around me? Galatians 5:16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, when the flesh is running the show, there's always going to be extremes to deal with. There's always going to be extremes to deal with. I mean, Paul lists some pretty wild extremes right here in Galatians 5:17 through 21 here. That's a lot of imbalance. That's a lot of extremes going on there. If the flesh is permitted to be my master, then there's going to be an imbalance in my life concerning everything about my life. The way I think, the way I behave, everything. Everything. And it's true of all of us. I mean, we'll be looking at the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace. Love will become hate, joy will become sadness, peace will become turmoil, long-suffering will become impatience, gentleness will be cruelty, goodness will be evil. You know, it just goes on and on and on. There's going to be an imbalance. Who's running the show? Who's running the show? Galatians 5:18 says, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." When the Spirit is in control, you know, when the Spirit is permitted to lead, when we are tempered by the Holy Spirit, then we're going to have this true balance in our life. You know, the word temper addresses someone whose disposition or character is influenced by something good or wholesome. Something good or wholesome. Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." So when we are tempered by the Holy Spirit, then the flesh will be crucified along with its selfish, selfish affections and lusts. You know, Brian once said something that I wrote down in the back of my Bible, and I got proof if you want to see it. And I thought it was really, really good. He said this on August 30th, 2020. I even wrote that down. This is what he said. I thought this was really good. He says, "When we die to self, the flesh becomes transparent and the glory of Christ shines through." I thought, wow, that's pretty good. You know, I've been to Silver Dollar City. And I've watched those fellows who work with the metal. You know, they'll shove that metal into the coals, and then that metal will get so hot it actually glows. And then they'll take that metal and they'll beat on it for a while on the anvil with a hammer. And then what do? They plunge it into that oil to temper that metal. You know, sometimes God will thrust us into the fire. And sometimes he'll beat on us with that hammer. But then he plunges us into the oil of the Holy Spirit. And that's when we become tempered. When the Spirit is in control, that's when we become tempered. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So when we are tempered or influenced or filled with the Holy Spirit, then our lives will manifest Christ-likeness. That's when the glory of Christ shines through us, when you're tempered by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. When we are tempered by the Holy Spirit, instead of being in competition with our brothers and sisters in Christ, instead we love them and we serve them and we serve with them, right? We're not concerned about being noticed. We're not concerned about, you know, receiving the praise of men, because we know that's not what it's all about. We know that's not what it's all about. It's only when we walk in submission to the Spirit that we will display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that's the only time that we really will experience balance in our life, so that we can avoid or combat those extremes that come up in life. And then the third point, and this is the one I'll close with. I worded it regulation of purpose. Regulation of purpose. And for this, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You guys know this passage. 1 Corinthians 9:23. See, another take on temperance is that it's descriptive of someone who is purposed. It's descriptive of someone who is purposed. And 1 Corinthians 9:23, and this is what we read. He says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Again, this brings us back to Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. To me, this is descriptive of a man with no purpose in life. A man who's vulnerable and open to whatever wind may happen to blow at the moment. He has no rule over his spirit because, quite frankly, other things are in the driver's seat. Other things are calling the shot. A life lived with no purpose is not a tempered life. It's not a tempered life. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. When God created man, he gave man an intellect and he gave man emotion. He gave man an intellect so he could know God. He gave man emotion so that he could love God. But he also gave man what else? Free will. Volition. The ability to choose. You see, sometimes folks make the center of life their intellect. It's all about their knowledge. And I'm going to tell you something. Mankind is notorious for making an idol out of his intellect. In fact, there's some guys running around out there thinking that they're smarter than God. And then some of us are run by our emotions. It's all about our emotions. It's all about how things make us feel. Well, I feel this and I feel that. Well, it's not all about our emotions. That shouldn't be the center of our, you know, the center of our being is our will, our ability to choose. That's what makes us different from everything else, is our ability to choose. You know, there's one point that Paul talks about in here in 1 Corinthians 9:25. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You see, the problem is with some folks is they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They're bumping into this, bumping into that, and then ending up in a ditch. And then other folks are fighting the wrong opponents. They're fighting the wrong battles. They're fighting the wrong battles in life. Paul's temperance has purpose. Paul is not adrift on the tides of opinion. He is not caught up in the currents of this world that leads nowhere but in circles. His eye is fixed on the prize. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So, Paul is the master of self. Why? Because he is dedicated to the master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:19 says, For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So returning to the context of Galatians 5, the reason so many become imbalanced, that they're not tempered, that they fall prey to the extremes, it's because they've lost the center and purpose of life, which is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we need to be tempered by the Word of God. We need to be tempered in the Spirit of God, and we need to be tempered to the purpose and will of God. And I'll close with this. Temperance is more than refusing to eat that second donut. It's the mastery over self by submitting to the Master, Jesus Christ. And that's my lesson.